right. Yeah. Set your spirit free, y'all. Talking about that peace. That's right. Yeah. Set your spirit free, y'all. Be the peace now. Come on, y'all, and be the peace, yeah. Come on now, and be the love, yeah. Think about that new perspective. Think about that eternal flame, y'all. Come on now, and be the light. Be the love, be the light. Be the love, be the light, yeah.
Hello, all you beautiful spirits. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, a listener-supported radio station, 88.3 FM on your radio dial and online at WAIF883.org. That intro music was Peace Jam by Faith Rivera. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its Board of Trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. I am Louisa Dyer, your host every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern for a show, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. It is a show focused on spirituality and personal growth. And we begin each week with 15 to 20 minutes of what I call musical lessons. It's a way to remind us to really let our mind, body, and spirit come into the beauty and the joy and the love. It's inside of us, and a lot of times music can access that for us. And so we're going to begin this set with What's Going On, an old favorite. But this is a new rendition by Here to Hear from their Beneath the Surface CD. And so I hope you enjoy this.
get down on my knees and pray and see through the madness that's taking place. From our own consciousness, we cannot not escape.
Hello, all you beautiful spirits. For those just joining us, I am Reverend Louisa Dyer, an interfaith and metaphysical minister, and I am your host every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern. And our show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And what we do here is practice all sorts of ways to tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives within all forms of life. It's what gives life to everything that exists. It is that God spark, as I call it, that animates each and every life, including mine and yours. And if and when we welcome that connection with God, with the divine spark that lives within us, we begin to wake up to the beauty and the glory and the love that's not only inside of us, but is around us in nature, in people, everywhere God is. And that's what our show is really about. And so my job always is to inspire you as well as give you very practical and often very simple ways to live happier, more peaceful lives, to actually reclaim the vitality that comes from living our deepest truth. And so the show is about personal and spiritual growth, which is my personal passion. And my intention always is to educate, to inspire, to help each and every one of us, including myself, remember that there is God inside of us. There is peace, there is love, there is joy. And when we actually tap into that, we have a greater vitality that comes with that. We have a more consistent awareness and experience of wholeness. And that's what I call feeling alive, and it's my passion. So, welcome. I really appreciate you listening in today. Last week, we talked about how to discover what's held in the subconscious programming below our level of conscious awareness for the purpose of healing it. And basically the way you do that is you just notice what's showing up and you address what's showing up in your life as a challenge or a problem. And that's usually coming from what's going on in the subconscious programming. In case it's not obvious, I have a master's level in psychology, so I talk a lot about psychology as well as spirit, as well as science. Because I love it when it all ties together and we get this holistic view that, you know, everything is interconnected. Everything that happens in the universe is part of everything else that's happening. Science has proven that. Psychology knows that. Mystics have known that. And Jesus talked about that. And many teachers long before Jesus talked about that. So that's what we're doing here is looking at that kingdom that lives within us, and how do we access it? And what we talked about last week was really looking at that from a real psychological sort of perspective and using what's called energy psychologies as a very fast and easy way to deal with some of those challenges. And basically, what energy psychology is, of course, is what I think of as really good psychology combined with using the energy systems of the body. And we talked about a number of them, TAT, PEAT, EFT, and WOW processing. Those are the ones I know the best. And they're methods that combine the body's energy systems with really good psychological techniques and spiritual understandings, and they very quickly can generate healing inside of us so that instead of taking 6 to 9 months, you know, you can do, I've often had clients say, wow, that WOW session, for example, was like 6 months of therapy in a 90-minute session. So that's what we were looking at, and we may talk a little bit more about that later on if we have time. And I'm going to give you some really simple tools today that take less than a minute that can actually eliminate self-sabotage, all the ways that we sabotage ourselves, all the ways that we create negative conditions and feelings and thoughts for ourselves. I'm going to give you a very simple little technique. It takes a minute to do it that will temporarily eliminate self-sabotage and it's a really good thing to do if you're ever not feeling good. If you will eliminate the self-sabotage, usually you will feel better immediately, but even if you don't, you'll know exactly what to do to feel better. I'm also going to talk a little bit about how to balance both hemispheres of the brain, and that's even simpler and takes less than a minute. And people that I work with who are artists, especially writers, painters, and people who do healing work, actually, really love that exercise, because what it does is it literally brings the left and the right hemispheres of your brain into balance so that your conscious, cognitive left brain is working with your holistic, creative right brain, and it really helps focus, it really helps creativity. So we're going to get into all of that. I also want to tell you about underwriting opportunities here at WAIF. Do you have a business that you would like to underwrite on WIF? We offer very cost-friendly rates. We can target your underwriting to any show that you choose. Just call one of our underwriting experts today at 513-351-1538 or 513-226-5585 and find out how you can get your business information to our listeners. The cost of underwriting is very affordable. You can underwrite and still stay within your budget. WAIF will help you reach our community with your message. You'll be helping your business as well as this great radio station, WAIF 883, 88.3 FM, what radio is meant to be. I just really want to say a personal thank you to all our listeners. WAIF is a volunteer public radio station, and without listeners like yourself, I wouldn't be on the air. And so as an expression of my appreciation, I invite you to download a higher self-guided meditation. It's an MP3, and you can download it for your iPod or whatever from my website, which is just my name, louisadyer.com. And it gives you an easy way to begin connecting with this inner divinity that we spend this time each Wednesday talking about. There's also a lot of educational information and simple tools listed there that you can use to begin taking care of yourself in a new way. And another thing I've done that I think is would be really a whole lot of fun is I've created a Facebook page for this show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And it's always got uplifting, positive messages on it. But I created it really as a chance to ask questions, make comments, interact with other listeners. I would love it if, you know, there was a little bit more interaction going on. And so feel free to get on that site and post any comments or suggestions or anything you'd like to. I'm also wanting to start doing some transformational stories from different listeners. So that's also a good way to contact me if you want to talk about telling your transformational story on the radio. Don't you think that would be cool? Anyway, so last week, like I said, we were talking about how to discover what's the root of a problem, whether that problem is physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. And when I say discover the root of it, what I mean is that problem is hidden in our subconscious, in the unconscious, some people would say, below the level of our conscious awareness. And so we talked about how energy psychology could help discover that, heal that, clear that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. And I'm going to give you those tools that I talked about earlier. So if you want to get your pen and paper, this might be a good time to do it. You know, spiritual teachers throughout human history have told us that we don't have to suffer, that we don't have to have all this misery and suffering that so many of us find ourselves in. Every spiritual teacher throughout time has told us that love is the answer. That's the answer to everything. It's the answer to anything that we might think of as a problem. And I don't think they mean the romantic, you know, Hollywood, sentimental sort of love. I think that they mean the love of God, the love that animates the whole universe. You know, I call nature God made manifest. And it's the love that I can see in the sea when the waves just keep going back and forth, or when I look at a tree, I see God growing there in that tree. And that love of God, it's through that that we can know the peace in our hearts and joy in our living. And when we do, then we don't suffer. God is omnipotent and omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere, in everything, all the time. And omnipotent means that God is all-powerful. And everything that's happening is God's will. When I really get that, when I believe that and feel that, then I don't suffer. And that's what all the spiritual teachers have been talking about. The kingdom of heaven is within, as Jesus said. And when we tap into that kingdom, then we know that all is well, because all is God's will. And so when we turn everything over to God, then we don't suffer. That doesn't mean, of course, that we aren't going to have challenges and trials, but we don't suffer even though we have those, because we don't worry about it. We don't stress about it, because we know, you know, it's in God's hands. And so there are millions of us who actually know this, who know that the universe is God. Whether you got to that through quantum physics, or whether you got to that through deep faith, whether you got to that through a particular religion or philosophy, it doesn't matter how you get to it. You can get to it from almost any field that exists, because it's the truth. The universe is good. The universe, you might say, is God. God is the universe. God is the life that animates every form. And so when we actually know that, we can begin to accept what's happening. We begin to accept what is. And when we accept it, then guess what? We're not suffering, because we are not judging, not fearing, not worrying, not stressing. We surrender to that goodness that is God, that is life, that is the field of consciousness, if you want to talk in terms of quantum physics. We surrender to the goodness in that, the beauty and the joy and the peace and the love in that. And we know that we're in alignment with that, and we don't suffer when we do that, because we're at one, we're at peace. And so even though there are millions and millions of us who know that and who can be in that space on occasion, we still go back time after time after time to suffering. Every single one of us, until we reach a state that some people would call enlightenment, where there is no longer any identification with the ego, and there is only a knowing of oneness with God all the time. Until we reach that state, we all do suffer. We all do. We have worry, we have fear, we have anger, guilt. We look around and we see these apparently horrible things happening, and we hurt, either for ourselves or other people. We feel pain. There are millions of people on our planet who don't have enough food or water to even live, much less be healthy. The corporations that are running our world right now, they treat people in what appears to be dreadful, dehumanizing ways, while their profits go up and the average person's standard of living goes down. You know, you look around in the world and you say, this ain't right. I mean, millions of men molest women and even children. Mothers hurt their children, sometimes out of desperation, sometimes just from ignorance, or because they suffer so much they feel as though they have to hurt someone to relieve some of their own pain. I mean, there is murder and wars and slavery and even genocide We're killing whole groups of people. And that's been common throughout human history, and it still goes on today. So, and we hurt ourselves. Where is the God in all of this? This, it's like it's such a mystery sometimes that we know we are divine, and that in prayer or in praise or in song, we can tap into that divinity and know it. And then something happens, and suddenly we're suffering again. Suddenly we've forgotten that God is here all the time. And you know, what it is that happens, it's like, one of my favorite teachers is Dr. David Hawkins, and he told a story in his books about where he tried to be an atheist. And I've had a similar experience in my younger years. I tried really, really hard to be an atheist because it was as though I could feel the suffering of humanity, and I blamed God for it. And I didn't want to have any part of anything that created all that suffering. And so I tried really hard to be an atheist because I thought, what a cruel, cruel God would allow such pain and misery to exist. And, you know, human suffering is intense. It's unbearable. My own was as well. I was a drug addict for 20 years. I was incredibly suicidal, depressed. I couldn't see an end to my own suffering, much less to anyone else's. And I couldn't make a big enough difference in myself or in the world to satisfy my own ego. So, you know, I thought I was worthless. And I thought that all my love for God, for people, for nature, for life itself was just wasted effort. So I gave up until I found God inside of me. And then everything changed. Because I realized God does not create all this suffering that humanity does. That's not on God. That's on us. Each and every one of us is responsible for what we experience. Not that we created these horrible things. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we're responsible for the state of our own hearts, the state of our own being. And through surrender to God, we can come back into that space of peace and love and joy inside of ourselves. And that is what does away with suffering. That's what brings us back into a place of peace and joy and even bliss. And it also is what gives us the power to make a real difference so that we can manage to do or be or share something with another person that helps relieve their suffering. And so I just want to be sure that everyone listening knows that, you know, I talk about all this beautiful, uplifting stuff because I know what it is to suffer. I know what it is to have given up in despair, to feel like you're literally dead inside. Because personally, I felt like God had abandoned me. And, you know, we can't live with any joy or peace or really even much sanity unless we feel that connection with that God spark inside of us. And then if we can feel it inside of us, we can feel it in the world, in life. We can see it in other people. Because so many in our world don't have that sense of connection with their own deepest self, with that spirit inside of them. Humans, as a whole, we've accepted suffering and disconnection and pain as our lot in life. Actually, most of us have actually been taught that to suffer is human, that is what life is about, and we do a lot of it. But you know what? I'm here today to say that's not so. That is not so. We do not have to suffer. Yes, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have things to deal with. We're going to have stuff that happens because that's what life is. We might even have physical pain, but even in physical pain, we don't have to suffer. And that's a promise that God has made through every emissary of God that has ever been on the planet. We don't have to suffer. And so that's what we're going to spend a lot more time talking about in today's show, is that God is omnipotent and omnipresent. God lives inside of you, inside of me, inside of every person, situation, inside every moment that exists. And when we can surrender to that knowing and find that peace that lives within our own hearts, you can call it light, you can call it goodness, you can call it whatever you want to. But if you experience it, then you will know that God is good and that suffering is optional. And so I'm going to leave it right there for a moment. I'm going to play a little music and give you time to really sit with that. Today we're talking about finding that God energy inside of us and taking responsibility for whatever it is in us that has blocked our awareness of that source energy so that we can actually surrender our suffering and turn it over to spirit, to source, to God. And, you know, it's something I often say to my clients is that you got to admit you're holding something before you can drop it. If you don't acknowledge that you've got it in your hand, then you can't think, I'm going to let it go and open your hand and release it. And so that's really what I think human suffering is about, is we have all these thoughts, beliefs, feelings, fears, worries in us, and they occupy our minds and they distract us from the truth of God inside of our hearts, and they get in our way of actually experiencing that oneness with the power that is the power I call God or source. And it's all that stuff that's in our way that is creating the suffering. You know, I mentioned my favorite teacher earlier, Dr. David Hawkins, and he's very clear about that in all of his writings, that there's never anything we have to gain in order to feel better, in order to be enlightened, in order to know God. There's nothing ever we have to gain. All we have to do is let go of whatever's been in the way of that. Because God is here, now, present, always, in us, around us, in everyone and everything. And so it's just about noticing what gets in our way, accepting it, noticing it, acknowledging, maybe even taking responsibility for the fact that we're holding it, not blaming ourselves for it, because none of us did it on purpose. Nobody purposely said, I'm going to have this belief that makes me feel horrible, or I'm going to create this physical illness because these emotions, I don't know how to deal with them, so I'm just going to stuff them in my body and create this horrible pain. None of us did that on purpose. It's what's happening subconsciously. It's what we don't know that is creating our suffering. And so that's what getting aware or becoming conscious is really all about, is when we're in pain, when we are suffering, if we notice that it is happening and just be present with it, then it either disappears or God shows us a way right there to walk out of it. Because it's like when you bring light into a darkened room, what happens to the darkness? It just goes away. Where does it go? Well, it actually doesn't go anywhere. It never existed in the first place. There is no such thing as darkness. There's just an absence of light. And the way you know that that is true is when you bring light into a darkened space, the darkness disappears. It has no choice about it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. You bring enough light in, the darkness goes away. It's like that with God. It's like that with love and fear. If you bring enough love, and that's what God really is, the unconditional love that animates all of life, you wouldn't be walking around if you didn't have that in you. So I can say with absolute assurity that you have God inside of you. How do I know? Because you're breathing. How do I know? Because you are walking around. Now, you may be really disconnected from that source inside of you, but that doesn't mean that it isn't there. And if you get connected with that source, then you can notice what has been in your way. Or sometimes, actually, what's most beautiful is when you get in touch with that source and it so completely clears out that darkness that you don't even have to admit whatever was there, because it's so far gone, you don't even remember it, and it doesn't matter anymore anyway. And so that's what we're doing today, is we're talking about how to notice what is blocking us and how to surrender that so that we don't have to suffer. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you two really easy, quick exercises that can make a big difference in actually even feeling like getting close with God. I'll give you two really simple things you can do that will clear up some of that surface level static that makes us feel disconnected. I'm not sure if you can hear that beeping. There's obviously a truck next door that is backing up and creating a huge beeping sound. All spiritual teachers have taught us throughout human history that we can be free of suffering. We can be enlightened. What does that mean? That means we can live in a state of bliss, in a state of joy and peace. And that the key to doing that is to actually surrender, to have enough faith in life and God and goodness, in the sacredness or the sanctity of life, to surrender to it. And we're in that state of peace. And when we are, we don't suffer anymore. It doesn't mean that we don't have challenges or trials or even physical pain. I mean, who doesn't? But whether we suffer with that or not, it's mostly our choice, Because if we actually accept what is happening, rather than fight it or resist it or hate it or wish it weren't so, when we actually know that God is in charge of everything, that God's will is always being done, that in fact God is all there is, we're going to still have the challenge. Maybe, maybe not. But we don't suffer with it. Because suffering actually requires resistance. It requires judgment. And to truly surrender, to truly know God, and be in that space of oneness with Source, it takes the suffering away. You know, I had an incredible example of this. My mom left this world in 2003, and the last 2 years of her life were really, really incredible. We healed our relationship, and we got really close, and the last 2 months of her life, especially, I got to take care of her, and she really did a very conscious dying process, and it was one of the greatest gifts that she ever gave me, actually. But once she left this world, I was in such a state of shock. Even though I was thought I was prepared for it, you can't be prepared for your mother leaving this world. And so when she actually took her last breath, even though I literally had been waiting on her to do that for over a week, I went into this state of shock. And when I came out of the state of shock, like 3 days later, I literally don't remember anything for those 3 days, I suddenly was consumed with this guilt that, you know, for all the times that I hadn't been nice to my mother for my whole life, all the times I hadn't done everything she wanted me to do, all the times that I hadn't given her all the attention she wanted or taken care of her in the way that she wanted me to. It's like I felt so horribly guilty. And rationally, I knew I really didn't have anything to feel guilty about because I took total care of her the last 2 years of her life, and especially those last 2 months. You know, I did everything I could, and it was incredible. And still, this guilt came up. It was subconscious. I did not know that then, but I know it now. It arose from something not even related to that. But anyway, I was in such a state of guilt and shame and despair and grief that I couldn't even function, that I literally cried for days and days. And finally, a good friend of mine called a woman that I had worked with when I lived in New Mexico and got her on the phone with me. Her name is Diane, and she was a beautiful teacher. And she helped me actually connect with my mother's spirit. And I had never done that before. I had never connected with a spirit that I knew, you know, who was no longer in this world but was in the next realm. And I didn't think, it didn't even occur to me that I could do that with my mother. But anyway, Diane helped me do that. And I did. And I connected with my mother. And it was probably the biggest shock of my life. Because my mom, now you got to understand, my mom, I always called her a hillbilly hellion. Betty, it was her name. And Betty was fierce. Betty was tough and strong and fierce. Betty didn't take nothing from nobody. And, you know, I had worked a lot in my life to try to help my mom be less angry or less arrogant or not to be so isolated, to actually have friends. And, you know, the reason we got along so good the last couple of years of her life is I stopped trying to make her be different than she was. And I just let her be exactly how she was. And actually, it was amazing because she then became different towards me. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But anyway, when I connected with my mother after she had left this world with her spirit, I was so shocked because she was this incredible being of light. I have connected. I have done medium work before where I connected with spirits who were, you know, either stuck here in ghost form or had passed from this realm into another. And I had done that kind of communication before. And so that part of it wasn't new or weird to me. But my mom, she was not this tough, angry, you know, person. She was an incredible, glowing being of intense light and joy. And I was crying and crying and, you know, begging her forgiveness. And she was so amazing. She was like, honey, there's nothing to forgive. It's all God. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Because my mother, you know, she was not affectionate. She was not warm for most of her life. She was pretty tough and strong and kind of cold to those who didn't know her. And it was just that she was protecting herself so much. And once she left this world, her spirit, what she actually said to me over and over is, there's nothing to protect yourself from. She said, I had it all wrong. All that's going on is God. God is all there is. And there is nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing to fear. Because nothing exists except God. All the rest of it is just illusion, waiting on you to wake up and notice that you've made a problem where none exist. And I'm like, but Mom, what about all the homeless people and the starving children and all the wars? And she's like, you know, honey, if there's something you feel strongly about, then figure out what kind of action you want to take about it. But take that action from love. Don't take it from fear or hate or worry. Because if you feel strongly about something, then it's yours to do something with until you've done that and something else speaks to you. But don't do something because you're afraid or because you hate. Do it from love, because there's really nothing whatsoever to fear. I mean, it blew my mind that my mother, I mean, you know, I would have expected Gandhi maybe to look like an incredible being of light, but Betty, my mom, anyway, she really woke me up to that reality that there is nothing to fear. And if my mom could get that, if my mom could get it, that God is all there is, then surely I can get it. Surely anybody can get it, you know? So that was my experience with my mom. She also said that God made each of us just as we are, and that there is purpose in what it is that speaks to us, what it is that calls to us. And our job is to listen to that, because it's all God talking to us, guiding us, showing us where it is our path is to joy, to peace. There is nothing to fear. No darkness can exist except what's in your own mind and your own heart. And if you bring God's light to that darkness, it will either disappear or you will see the way out of it. For me, from a lifetime spent in study and prayer, specifically to heal that darkness inside myself, I've realized that every person on this planet is working out their relationship to God, and that's all suffering really is. It's feeling separate from that God spark inside of us. It's feeling separate from our true self, our deep self, our core spiritual being. When we feel separate from that, we suffer. And we feel separate from that because of all the things that get in our way. Thankfully, we've been given lots and lots of tools for getting out of our own way. And I want to give you one of those tools right now. And it's called the duck's beak, D-U-C-K, the duck's beak exercise. And it takes about a minute to do, and you're welcome to write down how to do it. It's really, really simple. You can also see instructions for it on any of my websites. Again, that's my name, Louisa Dyer, L-O-U-I-S-A-D-Y-E-R, louisadyer.com or .net. And actually, I think this illustration that I'm talking about is on the wowprocess.com website. But what the duck's beak exercise does is it temporarily alleviates self-sabotage, meaning that it temporarily aligns all the energy flows in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, so that you actually can't self-sabotage yourself, at least momentarily. And for a number of people who have done this on a regular basis, like when they get up in the morning, once during the middle of the day, and then before bedtime at night, I've heard that it really makes a huge difference. I know I use it frequently, and it's really very simple. I did not make it up. It's been around for a really long time. It uses basic acupressure and acupuncture meridian understandings of those energy flows in the body. And it's just a few simple little hand movements. So I'm going to describe how to do it to you, for you. But then if you want to see an imagery of it, you can go to any of those websites and you can find a visual that will help you. So basically how you do the duck's beak exercise is really simple. You take your thumb and your first two fingers of your non-dominant hand. That's the thumb and the first two fingers of your non-dominant hand. And you hold those three together. And you hold them together, and then you just sort of place them right on top of your belly button. And you don't need to take your shirt off to stick your fingers in your belly button, though you can if you want to. You can just place it over your clothes, over your belly button. And that thumb and those two fingers are held together and thus left right there on your belly button for the whole duck's beak exercise. And then you take the first two fingers, the index finger and the middle finger of your dominant hand, and you hold those two fingers up and the other fingers down, and you come down one side of your collarbone from your shoulder down towards the center of your chest. The center of your chest, that bone that runs down the center of your chest, is called the sternum. And so you bring those two fingers of your dominant hand down the collarbone from the shoulder toward the sternum. And just before the collarbone hits the sternum, there's a little dip underneath the collarbone. Acupuncturists call that kidney 27. And that little dip right underneath the collarbone, you just rub that little dip really briskly for about 10 seconds. And that's all you do. And you remember to breathe. So your non-dominant hand with the thumb and first two fingers are together, placed over your belly button. The first two fingers of the dominant hand come down the collarbone, doesn't matter which side, to the dip beneath the collarbone just before it reaches the sternum. You rub that briskly and you remember to breathe for about 10 seconds. And then you switch sides and you bring those same two fingers down the other side of the collarbone from the shoulder down to the little dip beneath the collarbone just before the sternum. And you rub that really briskly for about 10 seconds. And then the reason it's called the duck's beak is because right here you pooch your lips out like a duck's beak. Or really, it's like an exaggerated kiss. You pooch your lips out, and one finger goes below the lips, and one finger goes above the lips. And you rub back and forth horizontally, and you remember to breathe. And you do that for about 10 seconds. And then once you've completed that, you reach that dominant hand around and you rub the base of your spine with the palm of your hand just as far down as is comfortable for you. To rub the base of your spine with the palm of your hand and remember to breathe. And you do that for about 10 seconds. And then you take a couple of deep cleansing breaths. And now you shake out both of your hands. Just shake them out and take a couple of deep breaths. That is the duck's beak exercise. It takes about a minute or less to do. It temporarily alleviates self-sabotage. And boy, can it really take you from a bad mood to a better mood really fast. You can do it as many times a day as you want. But if you have trouble with feeling okay in your own being, I would recommend doing it. Okay? We just got my sound turned up. I hope nobody's ears went crazy there. Anyway, that is the duck's beak exercise. And the next thing I want to tell you about is something called alternate nostril breathing. And again, I did not make this up. It's been around for a really long time. And it's something that is used in all sorts of therapeutic practices with people with disabilities or autism or creative people who are, you know, experiencing some sort of creative block, people who are doing cognitive therapy for some kind of traumatic brain injury. It's also used a lot for in writing classes, or anytime you're really wanting to be more clearly focused or have more creative energies going, or whenever you just want to feel more balanced. A good thing to do is alternate nostril breathing, and it's just what it sounds like, except there's a few little tricks to it that make it work better, and that's what I'm going to tell you about right now. Basically, you use any finger on your left hand, and you close your left nostril, and you breathe in and out through the right nostril. And you do that for 2 to 3 breaths, just breathing naturally, easily. And then, using any finger on the right hand, you close the right nostril, and you breathe in and out through the left nostril for 5 or 6 breaths. And then when you're done with that, you just rest your hands and just take a couple of deep breaths. So again, alternate nostril breathing is that simple. Left hand, any finger, close the left nostril, in and out through the right nostril for 2 to 3 breaths. Any finger on the right hand, close the right nostril, in and out, breathing through the left nostril for 5 or 6 breaths. And what that does is it actually balances both hemispheres of your brain. It activates the left and the right side of your brain and brings them into alignment. And so that's what I mean by it balances both sides of your brain. So I hope you got that. That's the duck's beak alternate nostril breathing. The duck's beak temporarily eliminates self-sabotage. So if you find yourself in a rut of thinking or feeling, that's a good way to get out of it. And alternate nostril breathing balances both hemispheres of the brain and helps with creativity as well as just overall balance, I think. So I think we're going to take a little break here again and just hear a little bit of music. This is actually a song that, in my opinion, explains how what we think and feel is up to us. The song is "Nobody is a Victim Here" by Here to Here. So enjoy. I'll see you back in a few moments.
BK say things don't happen to you, they happen for you.
Stand up! Ain't no victim here.
Yeah.
are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. Our show every week from 1 to 3 on Wednesdays is Inner Divinity, Knowing and Living from the Source Within. We are divinely created beings. That God, that Source, that divine light, whatever you call that energy of Source, of life, of God, it lives in your heart. And it's our birthright. And so what we're doing here is looking at all the different ways that we can claim it and trying to figure out all the different things that get in our way of knowing that so we can claim it. If you want help with getting in touch with your inner divinity, your higher self, whatever you call that God spark inside of you, there is a free guided meditation on my website that you are welcome to download. And there are a lot of also other free tools there that you are welcome to. There's also a Facebook page for this show called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, if you want to join us on Facebook. And what we've been really exploring today is the fact that we don't have to suffer, that we have challenges and things are always going to be happening in life because that's really what life is about, right? But but it doesn't mean that we have to suffer just because things are happening, just because this or that or the other is going on. We don't have to suffer. And that's what every spiritual teacher throughout time has told us. And so what we've really been looking at today is how do we give up our suffering? Well, first of all, we have to be willing to. We have to actually be willing to give up our suffering. Now, I know that sounds silly. Of course, everybody is willing to give up their suffering. But you know what? You'd be amazed if you really looked at it and noticed how tightly you hold on to some things, because you have an identity built around it. You have an identity built around, you know, looking a certain way or having a certain problem or thinking a certain way or having a certain belief system or a certain judgment. And then besides all of that, 95% of what goes inside of you is unconscious in the first place. So you don't even know most of what's going on inside of you. And, you know, so the joy and the beauty of living is to wake up and discover if we have a problem, what is the subconscious root of it? And how do we actually clear that so that we can move forward and not have to be in that state of suffering so much? Because it's really, we don't have to do it. And that's what we're learning about today. You know, it makes me think of last week. I told that story about how I had that severe endometriosis and that it came from a decision I had made when I was 11 years old. And I didn't even remember it, but nonetheless, it got triggered over something that happened when I was 25. And suddenly endometriosis was triggered and it was created and I was getting ready to do surgery. And when I cleared that subconscious trigger, that thing that I didn't even remember that was there, when I found it and cleared it, I was instantly healed. And that's how fast things can happen and they can change. So there's never anything that has to be gained in order for us to be healed. God is already here. There's just stuff we have to let go of so that we can know that God is already here. There's nothing we have to get in order to be better or to be more happy or awake or aware or more peaceful or even enlightened. There's nothing we have to get. All there is stuff to let go of that has blocked us from recognizing that state of being one with God, that state of being present, it's already here. We just don't experience because something is in our way. And so we're doing that every week on this show, is trying to figure out how do we clear those blocks and how do we surrender our suffering to God so that we just don't even have to suffer anymore. Because most suffering, a lot of teachers will tell you all suffering. I avoid all inclusives whenever possible. So I will say most suffering is optional. And so hopefully we will keep telling you things that will let you find something that works for yourself as a way to release whatever that suffering in you is, so that you can come back into alignment and back into peace with that God, that source, that life that is already in you. And so we are just about out of time here for today, and I just want to thank everyone so much for listening and invite you to join me every Wednesday from 1 to 3 Eastern here on 88.3 FM WAIFE Cincinnati, or online at WAIF883.org. You can also feel free to contact me through my websites or through the Facebook page for this show, which is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. But I'm closing a little bit early today because there are two amazing songs that I want you to hear, and I want to close out the show with. The first is by Black Eyed Peas, and it's called America's Song. And I watched the premiere of that on the Oprah show almost 4 years ago. And, oh, it just brought tears to my eyes. Such a beautiful song. And then the last song is Kumbaya by Faith Rivera, which is about being the creator of your own life. And so I'm going to close out with these two tunes. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have a marvelous day, and that you consciously and deliberately become willing to release your suffering and turn it over to God. And so it is. Blessed be.
Accept and bless all you made, my friend, and tomorrow you can choose.